على حب فاطمة الزهراء الثالثة بأعلى أصواتكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ثم أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما. قال له موسى: هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا؟ قال: إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا، وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا؟ قال: ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا. قال: فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Last week we began our discussion on the story of Musa and Khidr. And we mentioned that this encounter between Musa and Khidr alayhim assalam, it takes place during the last years of Musa's life, after he had received the Torah, after he had achieved the rank of being Kalimullah, after the demise of Harun alayhi salam. You find that Musa alayhi salam finds himself in a position where he assumed that there was no one on earth that he could learn from. There was no person that was in a position that could be his teacher. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibra'il reveals to him that this thought that crossed your mind, that there is no one left on earth who is qualified to be your teacher, is an incorrect thought. You're mistaken. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives Musa instructions and directions to go to the junction of the two seas, where the two seas meet. So there you will find a gifted individual who has knowledge that you don't have. So Musa alayhi salam, along with his student and his wasi, Yusha ibn Nun, they decide to journey, to travel, to meet this mysterious individual who possesses this unique knowledge that even Musa alayhi salam was ignorant of. We mentioned that in the previous verses, we reached ayah number 65 in Surah Al-Kahf. Musa alayhi salam is very anxious to meet Khidr. He's so thirsty for this knowledge that he tells Yusha that I'm willing to travel and journey for a long time. I'm not going to give up until I meet this man and I benefit from his knowledge. So they go to the junction of the two seas, which is general directions, and they inadvertently go a bit further. And then the whole miracle with the fish takes place, and we spoke about that in detail. In verse number 65, they finally meet Khidr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the encounter. The Quran in ayah number 65 says, فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. فَوَجَدَا, dual, meaning Musa and Yusha ibn Nun, Joshua, they find Khidr. The word wajada is a verb in the Arabic language, and it means to find something that you were intending to find something that you were searching for. See, the Arabic language is very sophisticated because it makes a difference. There's a distinction between finding something that you were seeking and stumbling upon something that you were not intending on finding. For example, the word athara, atharatu ala al-kitab, I stumbled upon the book. Meaning what? I found it, but I wasn't looking for it. Athara. But wajada means that you found something that you were looking for, that you were seeking. So even look at the precision of the word usage. So they finally find Khidr. But interestingly, Khidr's name is not mentioned anywhere in the Holy Quran. He's a mysterious personality. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us the name of this individual. Because again, the Quran is not a book of history. Allah doesn't want us to get fixated on names and dates. Allah doesn't want us to lose focus of the theme. This is the reason why Allah shares with us these stories. Not for it to be entertainment, but so we can draw important life lessons. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we know that this individual is Khidr from the hadith literature that we have. It is unanimously agreed by Sunni and Shia commentators of the Quran that this individual is known as Khidr, which means literally the green one. And last week I mentioned that one of the miraculous aspects of his character, one of the miracles of Khidr, is that if he would sit, whenever he would be in an area, he would give life to things that had become lifeless. So if you would sit on land that was dead and barren, life would flourish around him. So you find that the Quran describes Khidr in the following way. Look at the way that Allah praises him indirectly. فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. They found and they came, they found a servant from among our servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Khidr. He gives him the honorary title of being my abd. The highest distinction that can ever be offered to a human being in the Quran is to be referred to as Abdullah. It's to be Abdullah. In fact, Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma salli ala, he has a dua where he speaks about the honor of being Allah's abd. What does he say? Ilahi kafani fakhran an takuna li rabba. O Allah, it is sufficient as a source of pride that you are my Lord. Wa kafani izzan an akuna laka abda. And there is, and suffice it, it is sufficient as a source of honor for me that I am your abd, I am your servant. And then the Imam says, Anta kama urid. O Allah, you are as I want you to be. You have all of the attributes of kamal, of perfection. Faj'alni kama turid. You are as I want you to be. O Allah, make me as you want me to be. When you look at the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully defines the meaning, he defines ubudiyya, servitude to Allah. If you look at Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah number 21, verses 26 and 27, in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah, he gives us glimpses into the lives of different prophets. And then Allah tells us, there were some people who attributed divinity to some of these prophets. They claimed that these individuals were gods. What does Allah say? وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. People made the monstrous claim that some of these honorable men were God's sons. They were the children of God. What does Allah say? Subhanah. Allah is above. Allah is above that. Who are these individuals? بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ. These prophets, even though they were great, they had impeccable character, they were not God's sons. Rather, they were honored servants. عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ. And then in the next verse, Allah explains the meaning of عُبُودِيَّة. What does it mean when someone is عَبْدُ اللَّهِ? لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. They do not precede Allah in speech. They don't speak on Allah's behalf unless Allah tells them exactly what His position is. They don't say anything that is not authorized by God. And they always act in accordance with Allah's commands. If Allah says do something, they do it. If Allah says refrain from something, they refrain from it. This is the meaning of ubudiyyah. You do not move an inch unless you get the green light from your master. This is ubudiyyah. Fulfilling the obligations, refraining from the prohibitions. And then Allah tells us two things about Khidr. So the Quran praises him as being a servant among my servants. Then what does Allah say? آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. We gave him, we bestowed him a mercy upon him, a mercy from us. رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. We granted him mercy and we gave him knowledge. We taught him knowledge from our presence. Two things are mentioned. When you look at the different commentaries of the Quran, you find that there are a wide range of opinions about what is the meaning of this rahmah that was given to Khidr. Ataynahu rahmatan min indina. Some ulama believe that this rahmah, this mercy, is nubuwwah. He was given prophethood. And this is a mercy. That you are in a position where Allah speaks to you without any middleman. And it's also a mercy because you become the manifestation of Allah's mercy on earth. Allah guides people through you. Is there any higher manifestation of mercy than to be the link between human beings and Allah? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Other scholars say this rahmah is a reference to his longevity. To his longevity. Because Khidr lived an unusually long life. So one of the mercies that was bestowed upon him is that Allah prolonged his life, and through the prolonging of his life, he was able to witness many things. He was able to learn many things. He was able to help and support many prophets who came. And even until today, one of the roles of Khidr, because we believe he's alive, is that he plays a supporting role for the 12th Imam. He's a supporter of the Imam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. There are ahadith that say he visits the Imam on a regular basis so the Imam does not feel loneliness. Because if you look at the other Imams of Ahlul Bayt, they had companions. They had individuals that they would interact with. Even Imam al-Husayn, on the day of Ashura, which is the most difficult day, Imam al-Husayn, he had Abbas, he had Ali al-Akbar. The mazlumiyyah of the 12th Imam is seen in the fact that he doesn't have such individuals, because people are dying generation after generation. But you find Khidr is there to console him in that state of loneliness that he experiences. And then, so Allah says, we bestowed upon him, we granted him mercy. But not only that, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. And we taught him knowledge from our presence. Now I want you to pay attention to the wording. Allah says, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ. Who taught Khidr? Allah says, I directly taught Khidr. There is no medium. There is no intermediary. There is no angel that is revealing this knowledge to Khidr. It's a direct experience. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ. Allah says, we taught him. مِن لَدُنَّا. This word لَدُنَّا is very significant. In the Arabic language, there are two words that you need to be familiar with. The word عندنا, which means with us, in my possession, and لدنا. Both mean that something is in your possession. Allah is saying that I taught him knowledge that was in my possession. But Allah uses the word لدنا instead of عندنا. So for example, let me illustrate to you the difference. If I have a book, I say, عندي كتاب, عندنا كتاب. I possess a book. لدنا also means that you possess. But it's referring to something that you possess that is hidden, that is secretive. I may possess something and you see it. It's visible. It's accessible to you. But I also may possess something, but I have it in the safe. It's hidden. لَدُنَّا, Allah is saying that I have given him special, confidential knowledge that is hidden from most people. عِنْدَنَا and لَدُنَّا both mean, they both imply possession. But لَدُنَّا means that it's guarded. Guarded knowledge. Confidential knowledge that is only shared with a select few. This knowledge that Allah shares with Khidr is what? Ilmul Ghayb. Knowledge of the unseen. Esoteric knowledge. Knowledge of the inner reality of things. You and I, when we go through life, we are only able to understand the zahir, the apparent. Khidr was given access to the batin. And this highlights, if you look at the verse, Allah doesn't say that Musa and Yusha, they found a man with knowledge. No, Allah wants to teach us a lesson. That every goodness that you see, the source of it is me. Allah tells us the knowledge that Khidr has was given to him by me. So always know where to attribute the goodness. Do not attribute it to the creator, to the created. Always know that the source of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this knowledge that Khidr possesses, the ultimate source is Allah azza wa jal. Now, if you go to the next verse, Musa, now try to picture this. It's been a long journey. Musa is hungry, he's tired, and he finally sees Khidr. And he sees Khidr standing at the junction of the two seas. The next verse, ayah number 66. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَىٰ هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Musa is asking for permission. Do you give me permission to follow you so that I can learn from you and learn what has given you sound judgment? Musa is one of the great messengers of resolve, one of Ulul Azm. He doesn't come to Khidr and say that I am Musa, the one whom Allah spoke with directly. I want you to teach me. He doesn't speak. He humbles himself before his teacher. In fact, the first thing that Khidr says to Musa, Musa is asking to be his student. The ahadith say that Musa, that Khidr was standing and he was looking at the sea. And there was a sparrow, a bird, that came down to the water. And it drank some of the water from the sea. And a drop, some drops fell from its beak. Khidr looks at Musa and he says, oh Musa, do you see the drops of water that are falling from the beak of this bird? Musa says, yes. Khidr says, my knowledge and your knowledge in comparison with Allah's knowledge is like these drops in the face of this ocean. The first lesson that Khidr is teaching Musa is what? No matter how much you know, no matter how much I know, we have to know that we are ignorant when we stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to have what? In the learning process, you will not learn or benefit from knowledge if you don't have humility. And the humility has to be there from the teacher and the student. It's not only the student that has to be humble. Even the teacher has to have humility. So Musa asks for permission. You know, you would think that Musa would probably tell Khidr about how much they've suffered in this journey. You know, when you meet someone, you know, say you go to visit a friend and your flight is delayed for 5 hours. What's the first thing that you're going to tell the person when you see them? Oh, you know, I was delayed 5 hours. And you tell them the story. Does Musa complain to Khidr about the hardships that he faced? He doesn't even mention it. Why? Because Musa is trying to teach us another important lesson. Always value the time of your teacher. Do not waste his time by telling him a story that's really not going to benefit anyone. Respect for the time of the teacher. He doesn't want to waste Khidr's time. He wants to get straight to the point. We have a mission to accomplish. I need to learn and you need to teach. I respect your time, and therefore I'm not going to tell you about the troubles and the hardships that we encounter to reach you. So in a few words, Musa says, do you give me permission so that I can follow you, so that I may learn from you something that will give me rushd? Musa here is also teaching us what is the ultimate goal of seeking knowledge. Am I seeking knowledge just so I can impress my friends and show off that, you know I have all of this data, I've memorized all of these facts? Musa understands that the acquisition of knowledge is for a higher purpose, and that is what? Rushd. So you can be a person of sound judgment. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Allahumma salli ala, when the Holy Prophet was asked in a very beautiful hadith, one of the companions of the Prophet asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, mal ilm? What is knowledge? It's a very deep philosophical question. What is knowledge? Rasulullah, he says, al-insat, silence. To learn, you have to be quiet. You have to be silent, right? And then the man says, thumma ma, what's next? Because knowledge is a journey. What's the next stage in acquiring knowledge? The Prophet says silence, and then what? Al-istima'u la, attentive listening. Attentive listening. The man says, thumma ma, what comes after that? Rasulullah says, al-hifdhu la, preservation of what you listen to. Writing it down, memorizing it. Preservation of knowledge. Thumma ma, the man says, what comes after that? Al-amalu bih, preservation of the knowledge. Then implementation, acting upon it. Thumma ma, what comes after that? Dissemination, sharing it. You see that every level reinforces the knowledge. You need to be silent. You shouldn't be talking if you're ignorant. After you become an attentive listener, you need to make sure that what you're listening to is preserved. It's recorded. It's memorized. And to ensure that you don't forget it, you have to act upon it. And once you act upon it, this knowledge is an amana that you have to share with others. You were once ignorant and someone taught you. Now that you have been taught, you have to teach others. So Musa alayhi salam, you see, he humbles himself before Khidr. He asks for permission to follow. If we can silence the children in the back, brothers and sisters, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Musa humbles himself. And this is really a problem in the education system that I see today. You see, when students interact with their teachers, there is no adab whatsoever. You know, there used to be a time when the teacher would walk in the room, the students would stand up out of respect for the teacher. Now you see kids with their feet up on the desk, talking with no regard for the teacher. Adab is a very important part of education. In fact, if you look at report cards, you know when we were little kids, they used to give us report cards? If you look at report cards from the past, you know, your teacher would evaluate you on your reading, on your math, on science. And then there was a section called comportment. Comportment. It's probably a word that none of us are familiar with. The word comportment literally means adab. Adab. Mannerism. Your morality, your behavior. Students used to receive grades on their adab. But today, it doesn't matter. As long as you're smart, it doesn't matter what kind of akhlaq you have. You get an A+, and then you end up working for federal banks, you end up working for the Department of Defense, and you wreak havoc on the world. Because there was no akhlaq in your education. So Musa alayhi salam is teaching us this adab that has to be there during this learning process. So Musa asks for permission to be Khidr's student. What does Khidr reply? In the next verse, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعْيَ صَبْرًا. You will not be able to bear patiently with me. Now, what makes Khidr an exceptional teacher is his ability to quickly evaluate and assess his student. How can you teach someone unless you thoroughly evaluate them? Now the question is, Khidr is able to quickly size up Musa and identify what his struggle is going to be during this learning process. It's not that Musa is not smart enough. It's not that, you know, Musa has a learning impediment. When Khidr looks at him, he immediately knows that the problem with you is going to be sabr. But how does Khidr know this? This is the first time he's meeting Musa. How does he so quickly know that I know what your problem is going to be? What is going to inhibit your learning is your impatience. Musa alayhi salam is ma'soom. He's infallible. He possesses all of the noble qualities that are necessary for nubuwa. But Musa is a human being, which means that there are certain virtues that are more pronounced than others. So for example, if you take the virtue of humility, it's very pronounced and evident in the character of Musa. But you have other virtues that are there, but they're not as pronounced as the virtue of humility. Like the virtue of what? Patience. Musa is patient, but his patience is probably not at the same caliber as his humbleness. And I'll give you an example from the Quran. When you look at the Quran, it's very clear that Musa is a very anxious person. If there is something that's related to knowledge and receiving knowledge, he's very hasty. He can't wait. If you look at Surah Taha, verses 83 and 84, Allah tells Musa that, you know, come to Mount Sinai, the Miqat, so I can give you revelation. So there's a meeting place. You have to go somewhere to receive wahi. And Allah tells him, you know, bring some of Bani Israel with you. He selects 70 from Bani Israel to accompany him. So it's supposed to be 70 plus 1, plus Musa, and they're supposed to go together. Observe in verse number 83 of Surah Taha. وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Musa is so excited, so anxious to receive revelation that he goes ahead of everybody. He leaves everybody behind. And Allah says to him, "What caused you to leave your people behind in such great haste? I told you to come with everybody. You're the first one. You left everybody behind." What does Musa say in the next verse? "Qalahum ula ala athri." Musa says, "Oh, they're behind me. They're coming." "Wa'ajiltu ilayka rabbi litarza." I came rushing to you so you could be pleased with me. This yearning, this relationship of love that's there. So you see that Musa is very hasty when it comes to the acquisition of knowledge. And then Khidr tells him, number one, you're not going to be patient. You're going to struggle with this patience. And then Khidr explains to him why he believes that patience is going to be your struggle in this learning process. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. How can you bear patiently with something that you cannot grasp? How can you be patient about something that is beyond the realm of your understanding? Now the reason why Khidr knows that Musa's challenge is going to be patience, it's because he knows that Musa is a recipient of divine law. He has a sharia, the Torah. And the nature of sharia is that it governs the apparent. Sharia gives you guidance with respect to the apparent interactions in life. Khidr is going to share with him knowledge that is beyond the apparent. So he's not going to be able to bear patiently because he's going to see things that are seemingly going to contradict his own sharia. And he has to do amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. If he sees something that seemingly goes against the sharia, Musa has a religious responsibility not to remain silent. So Khidr says it's impossible. We're not going to be able to mix. And this is why the meeting place takes place where? At the junction of the two seas. Because salt water and fresh water, they don't mix. There's a barzakh between them. Now, another important lesson in this story, if you want to really learn, as a student, you have to be willing to accept criticism from your teacher. Right from the get-go, Musa, one of the messengers of Ulul Azm, is told by Khidr that you're not patient, and you cannot, how can you be patient when you cannot even grasp some of the things that you're going to see? Does Musa get offended and say, "How dare you? I am Kalimullah." Does he say, "Oh no, no, I am patient"? Look at his respectful reply. He says to him, so Musa doesn't get offended by the constructive criticism of Khidr. He listens attentively and he replies with adab. What does he say? قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. He says, God willing, you will find me patient. He doesn't say, I will be patient. I have patience. I mean, I was dealing with Bani Israel. I am a patient man. He says, God willing, I will be patient. And some ulama, they say, if Musa did not say, inshallah, I will be patient, Khidr would have never accepted him as a student. Because to be my student, you have to be humble. Don't think that you're Mr. Perfect. Don't think that you're Mr. Know-it-all. Inshallah, sabiran wa la a'si laka amra. And I will not disobey you. For Musa's life, he's always been the teacher. Now Allah is giving him a taste of discipleship. And then, look at what Khidr says. قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Khidr says to him, if you follow me, don't ask me any questions about anything until I choose to tell you a little bit about it. Can you imagine? You're told, you go to class, you have to learn from someone, and your teacher says that don't ask me questions about anything. You know, the foundation of learning is questions, right? The first rule that Khidr sets is, in this classroom, there are no questions. Don't ask me any questions. And this is also another lesson for teachers. When you want to teach, you have to set ground rules. Because if you don't set the ground rules and you don't give instructions, you're going to waste half of your time keeping things organized. You have to clearly outline what is the responsibility of the student and what is the responsibility of the teacher. And finally, and we'll conclude here, when you think, if I were to tell you that I want you to go meet the scholar and he's going to teach you, you're automatically going to think about the location of the learning, the setting. You're probably going to think it's going to be a formal classroom setting where you sit, the teacher is standing, maybe there's a chalkboard. But look at the learning location in this story. Is it a formal classroom setting? No. The Quran is also trying to teach us that learning should not be confined to any specific place. It should not be confined to the classroom or to the masjid. You can learn anywhere. The world is a classroom and life is the best teacher. And you find that Khidr does not teach theory. What does he do? You want to learn from me? Let's go. He starts doing things. Because the aim of knowledge is not just to talk. The aim of knowledge is what? To do, to act. And therefore you find that Khidr doesn't say three things. He does three things. The knowledge that he has motivates him and propels him towards amal, towards action. Inshallah, in our next section, we will speak about the events that unfold after this initial meeting. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us and guide us. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
توكلت على حي الذي لا يموت سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله